This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to the Productive Muslim Podcast, Season 4, Episode 1. Assalamu alaikum, Productive Muslims. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Mifra Maruf, and I am back here with Season 4 of the Productive Muslim Podcast. Alhamdulillah, I'm happy to be back and I'm happy to present to you another season filled with amazing guests and topic. So before I get into today's show, I want to answer the question about questions. So let me explain. Some of you have been wondering, Mifra, how do I send in my questions in order to get them featured on the Productive Muslim Podcast? And so I want to tell you exactly how that works. So for the podcast, there is a special website called productivemuslimpodcast.com. And then when you head over there, you can find all our episodes from our past season. And from there, you can also find a section in which you can submit in your questions. So you don't need anything fancy to submit in questions, just a microphone on your phone, on your laptop, or any other device that you have. And then you hit the record button. And then from there, we receive your questions and we select a question to answer. So inshallah, in this season, we'll be having a few of these episodes in which we'll be dedicating to your questions. So I invite you all to submit in your questions so that you can have them answered on the show. So now to get into today's show, what I have for you is a Productive Muslim interview. So these are interviews in which we speak to amazing individuals from all walks of life and we get an insight into their productivity and takeaway lessons that we can implement. And today joining me on the show is Sister Lily S. Mohsin. So Lily is a part-time therapist and a spiritual speaker. She's currently pursuing another diploma in Islamic psychology and is a contributing writer to a number of educational and inspirational blogs. One of them being Productive Muslim. So if you've been on our website and have been reading the articles, then there's a really good blog series happening right now called Who Are You Defending? The Truth About Self-Defense Mechanisms. And this is written by none other than our guest today, Sister Lily. So I am happy to have her on the show today. And without further ado, let's get started. Assalamu alaikum, Lily. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you?
I am good. How are you, Mifra?
I'm good, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So let's start off with what we ask all our guests. Tell us about yourself and what you do.
I am Lily S. Mohsin. You forgot to mention the S, and that's very important. That's my dad's initial, and I take pride in it very much. I know.
I missed that.
I take it personally, and I don't know why. It's like more important than my own name. Yeah. I'm an author and a therapist and a single mom. That's basically in a nutshell. And what I do is I'm a person who believes that people can change. And that's what I do. I try to help people change. Does that sound corny?
No, it doesn't. I mean...
Well, yeah, that's what I do. I try to help people face their past and accept their past and have hope for a better future. And I revolve my real life around that as a writer and as a therapist. And alhamdulillah, Allah has been very, very merciful and very generous with me. I've seen a transformation throughout the past 6 years and it's been very fulfilling.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. I wouldn't say that's corny at all because I think all of us inside want to make some sort of change in our own capacity. And for you, it's in a path of a therapist and in writing. So I would love to hear more about it, which brings us to our next question about goals and accomplishments. And so I want to know more about that in your life and particularly the ones that like, which one would you say that you can look back and say, I'm proud of? Can you tell us about that?
Well, that's a difficult question. You know, when I was 11 years old, that's the same year I wore the hijab, by the way.
I remember. I think
making...
me too.
Really? You were 11?
Somewhere like that.
That's a nice coincidence. Okay, so I remember that day I made a dua from the heart and I asked God to make me special and make me do something special with my life. And I had no idea how my life will turn out. But then I guess with time and, you know, the journey of life, I found that what makes me special is helping people. You know, I tried everything. I went into photography when I graduated and that didn't work out. I worked in a company with, you know, accounting and stuff that was really boring. And I kept on, you know, trying and failing until I found my path, alhamdulillah. And it is, I think my greatest accomplishment is seeing transformation in people's lives and seeing them get their acts together and fixing their relationships. And, you know, a lot of people are so lost and they're looking for inner peace. And that's, I guess that's what everyone is looking for. So yeah, that is, I guess I would say that's my biggest accomplishment, is helping people change their lives.
It's quite interesting how you actually got into that after like a long journey. Like, as you mentioned that you went through photography, then you went through accounting, and then you started therapy. And I actually want to know more about that, because I know a lot of our listeners actually struggle with this. It's like, hey, I want to make a change, and but it's just, I can't seem to kind of find that thing that I want to go towards in a way that complements the strengths that I have. Mm-hmm. Each person. So how did you find that personally? Like, how did you just get yourself into this field in which now you're, you know, making so much change into people's lives?
I had no idea that I could be a good psychologist. Actually, it was my friend who pointed it out that I was a natural psychologist. And that's how I started seeing it. At first, with the photography, I loved that. It was a really interesting career. But then I got a problem with my eye and I couldn't take the lights in the studio. So I had to stop. And subhanAllah, it was a shift in careers. And I started writing. I found that I'm very passionate about writing, and not, you know, the textbook how-tos and what-ifs. And, you know, no, I just wrote from the heart. And I wrote about stories and about, you know, like matters of the heart. And I usually love writing stories that people can connect to and people can see themselves in the characters. Sometimes I wait months for the characters to talk to me. And it was like really weird. I have imaginary friends and they talk to me and I just hear voices and I see people and I write it down.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. Started with the writing. And then a lot of things happened in my life. I got divorced. And my kids suffered because of that. And that's when I started taking psychology seriously. That's when I started studying really hard because I wanted to help them first. And that's how it started. I got a patient and then another one and it sort of rolled out. And it's been a blessing. It's really been a blessing helping people. And it's like, I feel like I live a double life, because as a writer, I'm very dreamy and I'm a loner, and I'm, you know, I'd sit and stare at the wall for hours listening to voices in my head. And then when I'm a therapist, I have to be more realistic. I have to be more, you know, try to solve problems, try to be there in the moment, very mindful. So yeah, it's kind of living a double life. One way I'm very dreamy and another way I'm very realistic and very down to earth. So, and I love both parts very much. It's been really a blessing.
Oh, wow. Like, it's amazing how you're kind of like thriving in two different parts and you've accepted that, hey, they're like polar opposites. I mean, how do you kind of make peace with that?
Well,
if that makes sense.
I know. You know, I think that whatever you're passionate about is never random. You know, everything that excites you is never random. It's part of your purpose in life. You know, I believe that life is just meaningless. We give it meaning. And the things that we're passionate about, especially if they're connected to a bigger purpose or connected to, you know, pleasing Allah, that's how you start finding the journey. And that's how I don't feel like I work, really. I do it from the heart and it's very fulfilling. I don't feel like I have a job from 9 to 5 and I have to finish it and like get it over with. I'm always working, you know, even when I'm not with patients, I'm thinking about their problems. Even if I'm not writing, I'm talking to the characters, the imaginary characters in my head. It's, I think when you really want something and you make that decision, decisions are very powerful. You know, we all have dreams, but now you must wake up in the morning and make the decision that I'm going to make a change, because nothing changes if nothing changes. I always say that. I always put that quote, nothing changes if nothing changes. And once you decide to make a change, anything can happen. I believe that. I've seen people who have been depressed and have been on the verge of a breakdown and have been failing in all sorts of, you know, in all parts of their lives. And I've seen them turn their lives around with just one decision to be better. They made that decision. I'm going to be better. I'm going to do something about my life and turn it around. And I've seen people do that. And it's just amazing.
So in that transformation that you've seen in people, what has been the most inspiring one that you've seen in which they decided that, hey, I am going to move on?
One of my favorite cases was this girl who came, she was married to a drug addict, and she really couldn't handle it. So she left him, and then she felt bad about it. And now she goes home and she finds out that her brother is also an addict. So, and then she comes back to me and she says, you know what? I can't sulk forever. I can't be depressed forever. I want to do something about this. And I want to help them. I want to help myself so that I can help them. And we started from there. And this was really inspiring because, alhamdulillah, they both got cured. And now they're sponsors. And she's living a very, you know, a peaceful, happy life. And I've seen her change. I've seen her become less judgmental. I've seen her pick herself up. And she's one of my favorite patients. She is a very, very strong person. And it's just a big proof that people can change. I believe that people can change. And a lot of people I see, you know, we give ourselves excuses, you know. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy. I don't have a husband. I don't have kids. I don't have friends. Everyone is putting excuses, you know, and obstacles on why they refuse to be better. But now everyone has something missing. Everyone has a challenge. Everyone has an obstacle. Life is not supposed to be a fairy tale. Now, it took me some time to, it took me some time to admit that. I thought life was a fairy tale until I, you know, was struck by reality. And I realized that Allah is fair, and He will never give you something that you can't handle. He will never give you something above your capabilities. You just have to expand your capabilities and believe in yourself and believe that you can do it and have that pure intention of living a good life and being a good person. And you just, you know, you take it from there. And, you know, it's the inner strength and the psychological strength. That's what, you know, pushes you through.
That's true. You know, one of the things that I noticed with regards to your writing part of your life is how you've actually wrote a book in which you ventured into the adult world, because normally you write for children, children series and stuff. So tell us about that and that how you actually did something different.
I was surprised too. when that book came out, I was surprised too, because now you see how I live a double life. One is one is in the fairy tale and one is in the real world. So when I'm in the fairy tale world, I can write for children, no problem. And then when I get out of that world and go into the real world, that's when I write for adults. So I guess the double agent thing has helped. I don't see it as writing, really. If you read the articles or if you read my book, it's more like the conversation I'm having with you. You know, it's not, I can't do a textbook. I can't write by the rules. I just talk from the heart and it sort of rolls out. So, I know it's weird to be both, but I think, alhamdulillah, that God gave me that gift and I try to use it to the best I can.
Yeah, I could relate on some levels to that, because like I find myself being able to have this side in which I'm social and I'm like speaking and like getting to know people and stuff. And then there's this side of me that's very, very technical.
Yeah.
Very like,
we all geeky. Have different sides.
it's like at that point, I don't want to speak to anyone. It's like,
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking, oh, am I the same person? It's just a bit weird. Like,
you know, when you're comfortable with being yourself, amazing things happen. When you're, when you stop trying to, you know, change a life, or you're trying to, you know, when you adjust your expectations and you're just, you accept who you are and you accept your life for what it is and you're grateful for what you have, you sort of get this inner power, you know, this inner motivational energy that drives you to do things that are really different. You can be, you know, like a strict mom, and then on another day you can be like a very fun mom. Like, I'm known to be a very strict mom, and I have rules, and I make my daughter work, and I have a special needed son, and sometimes I have to be strict with him. And also, you know, we'll be dancing around and baking and making a mess. It's just, you know, it's good to be, you know, yourself and not put too much pressure on yourself. You go with the flow, and as long as you're not doing anything wrong and you're pleasing Allah, and that's the core of it, I think.
How did you come to that realization of just letting go and accepting who you are?
Well, I wish I could tell you it was easy.
Yeah.
Really, it really wasn't. Of course, the divorce was difficult on me and my family, and having a special needs son was also very difficult. And there were times when I was broken, and there were times when I didn't think that I'd survive or make it another day.
Yeah.
And but I have a very supportive family, alhamdulillah, and I have very supportive friends. And it was this one time when I sincerely asked God for help. I think we don't ask Allah for help enough.
Yeah,
I think we struggle alone, and we complain alone, and you know, in secret you complain like, why is God punishing me? But then you sit and think about it, and I've realized that everything, every difficult thing I've been through is what made me who I am today. You know, without all these struggles, you can't grow without struggles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's because I've been through pain, and it's because I've been weak, that I want to help people find the strengths in them. And I want to help people see that it's a mental state. It's when you look at things differently, the things you look at change. And that's how it started with me. I stopped sulking and I stopped complaining, and I just, my kids needed me to be strong. So I, you know, got my act together and asked God for help. This is how it started. I went, you know, right down on my knees begging for help. And Allah always listens and He always responds. I know sometimes it doesn't seem that way, but when it's from the heart, there, I have no doubt that He will always respond to anyone who's asking for help. And sometimes I can't say that, you know, it was me, and yeah, that was me, and I got myself out of it, or it's because I'm smart or strong or whatever. No one can do it on their own. Really, no one can. And when people complain like, I can't do it, it's true. We can't do it unless we ask Allah for help. And when you do, the help comes from Allah, whether you know it or not. It's always from Allah. We're all the same, and we're all weak, and we all, you know, get our ups and downs. But when you ask, sincerely ask for help, this is when life changes, and this is when amazing things start to happen.
Hmm. Yeah. Because I know that, like, as we progress through life, like, there's a time when we're young, and then we're living in our fairy tale, and then it's like just life just strikes at us, and it's like you just kind of like wake up and you're like, what on earth has happened? And then just kind of piecing everything together after that is something that is a challenge, and it's a struggle. And it's like sometimes you kind of think, oh, why did this happen to me? Or like, and exactly. Like, these are really bad thoughts to entertain, but that's what happens when you like break away from that fairy tale.
Most of my patients who come to see me, they have everything, and they can't put their hands on what's wrong. They're just sad, or they feel lost, and they don't know why. Like, they have good families, they have good jobs, they have, and yet they're still sad deep inside, or they're still lost or confused. And usually it's because their brains and their hearts are not on the same page. You know, you believe something in your heart, and then your brain knows something. The brain thinks in black and white, and the heart thinks in colors. And now you need to blend them together and make sure that they're both on the same page. And this is when they stop arguing, you know, this is when you find peace. Do you know what I mean?
How would you put them on the same place, brain and mind?
Like, for example, when you know you're doing some, like your heart tells you that you shouldn't be doing this. Like you shouldn't be yelling at your kids that way, or getting, you know, angry, or you shouldn't be ungrateful. But your brain tells you, like, look around you, or you see, you have all of these problems and all these challenges, and other people are out and having fun and being, you know, whatever. The brain says something, and the heart says something, and the heart knows what's right. And then they start, there's this back and forth conversation. You know, do you sometimes hear yourself having this conversation inside of you?
Every day. What are you talking about? Sometimes. Yeah.
And you know what? The brain can be right and the heart can be right, but the trick is to find the middle ground. It's like, I always put it that way. It's like a child and the parents are fighting. You love your dad and you love your mom, you know, and you don't want to take sides. You know what would be the best case scenario? If they both agree on one thing. This is when life becomes peaceful. So most of the time, the patients who come to see me are just looking for this inner peace of doing what's right and doing it from the heart. Doing what makes sense to you logically, and also doing it from the heart with passion. And that's when you find inner peace. If you're doing something out of an obligation, because it's an obligation, but it's not from the heart, you'll still feel bothered. And you'll still feel like you can't, suffocated, like you can't breathe. And the other way around, if you do something from the heart, but it makes no sense, you'll still be struggling. You have to blend them both. And that's how, you know, you find that inner peace we're all craving.
Yeah, yeah. So like in that time of confusion and like just they're feeling down and stuff, like how do they know at that point what is the next step? Sometimes like the next step is very unclear. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I think at the point, we all get those, you know, moments of total confusion and, you know, you're like lost. But I think it's when you accept reality for what it is and stop twisting it around. Sometimes we take our own insecurities and you know, our own faults or our own negativity, and we twist it into our relationships or into our lives. It's when we stop making excuses and when we realize that life is not designed to be easy. It's designed to be difficult, and it's us who have to deal with it and accept it. And, you know, the resistance to change is the problem. The resistance to the solution is the problem, not the solution itself. Because we all know what's right and what's wrong, right?
The resistance to the problem.
Mm-hmm. No, the resistance to, you know, when you know, we all know what's right and what's wrong, right?
Yep, true.
Yeah, and there's a difference between knowing what to do and actually doing it. That's the tough part. Actually, you know, I know I should be patient. I know I should be calm. I know I should be disciplined. I know I should study. I know, you know, but I can't do it. I'm just too lazy to do it. I'm not motivated to do it. And this is when you need to push through. Sometimes we just need grit. We need to push through. Not a lot of people. And then we start making excuses. It's when we stop making excuses and realize that life is supposed to be difficult and that we should push through and discipline ourselves. This is when a breakthrough happens. Just accept life for what it is and stop imagining fairy tale scenarios that will never happen. We all obsess about things that will just, you know what, it'll never happen. So yeah.
Oh no, you broke our fairy tale.
I wish, you know, sometimes in the middle of a session, like, okay, this will never happen. You can't say that, though. No.
Yeah. That's so true. Because, like, it's just, I've had a lot of conversations with friends in which, like, they've had the same experience. It's like, oh, they've grown up with this fairy tale. And then it's like, then life hits them. And they're like, what happened? I was like, they'll be like, I don't feel like how I was when I was in my 20s. Or, like, I had so much excitement and passion for life. And it's like, now it's like, you know, they're, say, they're 27, 28. And they're like, I don't know where it all went.
Yeah, that's right. Because now every phase of your life will demand a different version of you. We're growing up, our needs are changing, our views are changing, and we just, you know, have to evolve. We don't really change. We start seeing things differently. We start becoming more wise. We start becoming, you know, our needs change. So, yeah. And people won't, sometimes some people are holding on to the past and, you know, that rush of the relationship, or how the kids were younger and everything was fun and now everything's so complicated, yeah. Or yeah. How I was so excited about my job and now it's mundane or whatever. We evolve and we need to go with the flow and stop resisting the change, because everything changes. Change is constant, you know?
So would you say that it's still possible to get that excitement back to your life, or is it just something that's gone with your gone with your childhood?
I think you know, I ask myself that question every day. Well, I think that, you know, that inner child inside of you that's giggling and wants a lot of candy and eats a lot of chocolate. Yeah. Keep that child. And let that child have space to grow. It's okay to be, you know, a mom or even a grandma and still have that inner child inside of you. And that's the passionate part. And as you grow up, you'll be passionate about different things, and little things will excite you. Be yourself and get excited when, you know, feel your feelings.
Yeah.
It's because we reminisce about the past, we don't allow ourselves to get excited about the little things in life. We stop noticing them. Because we're too busy thinking about the what ifs and what could have been, you know, we don't allow it. Yeah. We just, little things like the children's laughter or, you know, chocolate chip cookies, little things can make us happy, but we're too blinded to it because we're obsessing about what we need and what didn't happen and what's yet going to happen. And we're always looking for what's next. You know, we're always to fill that void. But we don't realize that void is already filled. You know, we're always, I get a lot of people, if this happens, I'll be happy. If I get married, I'll be happy. If I find a job, I'll be happy. If I have kids, and it's always like that. They're always running after something. And then what? And when it happens, they start looking for the next thing. No one, you know, when we accept what we have and we start finding the gratefulness for what we have. And that's what I'm teaching my daughter, by the way. Every night I ask her, what are you grateful for? And she has to list three things. This is mindfulness. This is living in the now. Yeah. I don't ask her what you wish for. I ask her, what are you grateful for? And she has to list three different things every day. And I've seen a difference in her. And now, you know, after she sleeps, I go and list my three things too. And it has really, really helped me stop looking for the next thing and focusing on what I have right now in my life that's making me happy.
That's true. You know, I've heard so much about, like, you know, listing what you're grateful for, or like remembering it every single day. And it's just something that you hear so regularly, and it's just, you just don't do. It's just, yeah. I suppose it's an example of what you know you should do and what you don't do.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're
exactly
right.
What you mentioned. Yeah,
that's true.
You know, we're actually getting close to the end of our interview, and
that passed fast.
yeah, it did. That was actually a really good conversation we're having, and I just want to ask you some of our final questions that we have here. Mm-hmm. And so, just going to the productivity aspect of yourself, mm-hmm. of your life, actually, how does a typical day look like for you? Like with say your writing and your therapy and family and everything else in between, you know, everything else that life asks for, you know what I mean?
Okay, so first thing, well, my days are usually, my mornings are usually in sessions, session after session after session. And then once the kids come back from school, that's it. I forget about everything I am, and I'm just a mom. And I live the now as a mom. And it's family time until they go to bed. We either go see my parents, or, you know, it's homework time, or just, you know, family time. And then when they sleep, I usually write or I study, and I have some, you know, me time. I try to meditate. I'm not really very good at that, but I'm really, I'm starting to build up. It's very important to take some time to, you know, just not think, just breathe and not do anything except be for a while, for 5 minutes. Just let your brain stop thinking and give it a rest. And that's what I'm trying to do. And you guys pray for me that I get there. So yeah, that's basically a typical day.
So all of those articles and, you know, writings that you write out to the world pretty much come out in like the night hours.
The night hours and
it's born out of the night. All right.
Fridays. I write on Fridays when, you know, during a Friday prayer. Yeah. I sit and I write. And even if the kids are around, sometimes I wouldn't be writing. I close my eyes and I listen to the characters talk and then I write what they say and that's it. Sometimes it takes an hour. Sometimes it takes weeks. It just, I ask Allah for inspiration, and I feel that whatever comes to my head is what Allah wants me to, you know, is the message that Allah wants me to communicate to people at that time. Sometimes it would just be very random. Like I'd start at writing something and then I end up writing something else. And I know that it's because I asked Allah for help and for humility. That's very important. Like, please, Allah, what do you want me to tell people? And like, help me write it. Thank you. And then it comes naturally. Yeah. Usually on Fridays, it's, I feel like it's a blessed day. So
that's nice. It reminds me of, about how I had another guest I was interviewing before. And like, before we started our interview, she was telling me, like, I was just telling her, okay, this is how the interview is going to be, and just a rundown and stuff. And then I asked, oh, do you have any questions? And she's like, you know, whatever I'm going to say is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to say. And I was like, wow, that's such a really nice way to look at it. And it's very in line with what you're saying in your writing.
That is very true. That is very true. Because there was one time when I got this, you know, feeling of, yeah, that's me. And wallahi, I swear, I couldn't write for 7 months. Just because I got that feeling of, you know, I'm so smart. And then a complete blockage. I could not write one word and I had deadlines to meet and I just couldn't write. And sorry, Allah, please forgive me. It's not me. It's all you. I'm sorry. And that was a humbling experience. I'll never forget that.
It's like actually living that, you see how in like lectures we hear about how at the end the speaker would be saying, you know, anything good is from Allah and anything bad is from myself and the shaitan. So it's like actually living that.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's true. Anything that's good that's going to come out, it's going to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like,
exactly.
It's a really nice way to just kind of like let go and not put so much pressure onto yourself. You know, when we start thinking it's everything's coming from me, then it's like we just really press ourselves to get words out or get, you know, whatever we're trying to create. Mm-hmm. So
That's right. That is so true.
That's so true. So final question that like a few final questions that we have here is what would you say is a book or an article or some video that you came across recently that's helped you in your personal growth?
Anything by Noman Ali Khan. I'm his biggest fan, really.
Yeah.
I am his biggest fan. Any lecture, I'm reading his book right now. He has really, really changed a lot of lives and I'm one of them. And also recently, I read the Muhammad Faris's book, The Productive Muslim. I was working with him on a project and part of the project was reading the book. So I read it and I'm usually not into, you know, technical information, but this book, it helped me not procrastinate. It helped me take exercise more seriously. It helped me look at life differently. It's a really, really good book.
So speaking about productive Muslim, then how would you define a productive Muslim?
I think it all lies in being honest with, you know, being true to Allah, being true to yourself. Because a lot of people can be productive, but now like they're not Muslims, or it's like a business deal, or they do something to get something in return, right? And there are a lot of Muslims who are not productive. But I think that when you're true to yourself, you will think about this dunya and you will think about the hereafter. And you will, it's when you're true to yourself and you put action with that, this is the meaning of being a productive Muslim. It's the pure intention plus action and being true to yourself and not thinking, you know, what am I going to get out of this? Like when you go and help people and you do it for the sake of Allah, that's being beneficial and being productive. And it's very, very fulfilling. I remember when I was younger, I was 11, and when I wore the hijab, and I was just really excited about being a good Muslim. So I went and asked my mom, what can I do to be like a good Muslim? And she said, the best thing you can do is to give from what you love the most, like spend from what you love the most. And of course, at that time, the thing I love the most is chocolate. So I started giving out chocolate to orphans. And wallahi, it's,
that's really nice.
I don't think I felt such joy as when I saw those little orphans eat chocolates. It's when you help people and you want nothing in return. That's being productive. That's being a productive Muslim.
All right, so that wraps up our show for today. I hope you enjoyed this interview. If you'd like to connect with our guest, or if you'd like to read more about any resources or references that we've mentioned in this show, then you can be able to do so by heading over to our website, productivemuslim.com. And then from there, you can be able to also leave a comment, which is great because I get to hear from you and let us know things like what you liked about the interview, what you learned from the interview, or what kind of topics you'd like to see in the future. Everything that comes to mind, please do leave it there. So that pretty much wraps up our episode for today. Thank you again for joining us, and inshallah, I hope to see you all in our next episode. Until then, remember, be sincere and work hard. Woke up with the light, a sky so blue above my eyes, with a thankful heart. Today is another brand new